So it's natural then, you and I, we're not surprised to find that Allah promised His prophets victory in the Quran. Not only His prophets, the mu'mineen promised them victory. So let's look at this verse from the Holy Quran. It says, Surah 37, verses number 172 to 174. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد سبقت كلمتنا لعبادنا المرسلين. Our word had gone forth, had already gone forth to our messengers. What did God promise them? إنهم لهم المنصورون. Allah promised them that definitely they're mansurun. They're going to be victorious. They're going to get divine help. In addition to that, you and I are also part of the promise. وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And our armies, our hosts, our people, also they're victorious. So the divine religion is victorious. Those leaders, the divine leaders that Allah sent, everything that you would want in a leader, they're in those prophets. Perfect religion, in line with the universe. It's natural that yes, this religion is going to be victorious. But now we'll come to another question. So the prophets were sent to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. Were the prophets, and now we're going to be a little bit fair, when you look at the mission of the prophets, all of the prophets, this is a divine promise. And Allah la yukhliful mi'ad, it's a divine promise. Definitely, the prophets are assisted, 100%. But when we look at the anbiya, and a'immah, who are following the path of the anbiya, and God's people, do we see that they were always victorious? The anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, from one point of view, if we look at it, we'll say definitely every Nabi was victorious. How? Collectively, if we look at all of the prophets of God, we can say collectively, all of the prophets were victorious. How? All of those prophets did their responsibility. In their time, Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, all of the prophets, in their time, they did their responsibility. They brought us, human beings, one step closer to what the 12th Imam will actually do. Each prophet in his own way, at his pace, he was victorious, as in he was able to bring mankind, humanity, one step forward. But if you look individually, so collectively they were all victorious, collectively they were all a success, but if you look individually, you'll see that some of the prophets were successful outwardly. Some of the prophets were able to do what our Imam will do. They were able to set up a divine system. Sulaiman, Nabi Sulaiman, Nabi Dawood, alayhi as-salam, right? Some of them, our prophet, they were able to set up that divine system, implement Allah's laws, help people to go en masse towards God. It didn't happen though for some of the anbiya. And I know. Some of them, because that goal, but the 12th Imam is going, they all wanted more. They all wanted to do this. This is the way for salvation of mankind. You have to create the kingdom of God on the earth. But it wasn't the case that every prophet was successful in establishing the kingdom of God on the earth. That didn't happen. Our question is this. Why is it that some of the anbiya were successful in that way? That they were able to establish God's kingdom. If we learn this lesson, then you and I can learn how we then become useful for the Imam of the time. Why is it that some of the anbiya were successful, able to establish the kingdom of God, fulfill that destiny, bring man to experience the best of this world hereafter, and other anbiya, like Nabi Yahya, were martyred? His head was cut off. It was given as a gift to one of the Taqis. What about Zakariya? Zakariya, as you've heard the story, in the tree, they saw the tree and it martyred. So why is it that some prophets were able to be outwardly successful, and then other prophets, no, we see that they were outwardly defeated. By the way, this is true for the A'imma also. Anytime you see outward success for our prophet, for A'imma, it's the same principle. The way of the anbiya, from the beginning, it's the same thing. It's the rule of God. What happened? What happens is, the followers of the anbiya, so the religion had everything in it that you would need for success. Charismatic leader, perfect way of life, code, the way of doing things, this world and the hereafter, all of that was there. But there was something else. The victory, the external victory of Islam depended on the followers and the believers. Islam is not a religion. God doesn't teach us this way. That you just sit back like Bani Israel. You sit back, remember what they told Nabi Musa. They were supposed to go to the promised land. They said, no, we can't go in there. We have no one, Jabbari. There are tyrants over there. We can't go to over there. You and Allah will fight. Allah's mission, Allah's deen doesn't work that we as believers, we sit back and God makes miracles happen, thunderbolts come from heaven, and we relax. That's not how it works. He didn't make his religion like that. The followers have to have certain characteristics. If the followers have two characteristics, Islam becomes victorious. If the followers lack these two characteristics, or one of the two, again, Islam will outwardly, you'll see defeat. What are those two characteristics? The first of them is iman, faith. But faith, he said, we already covered this. And according to the verses of the Quran, iman has to be first an intellectual realization that we're personally convinced this is the prophet of God I'm talking to, this is the book of God, intellectually I'm convinced. Number two, that I understand that being a Muslim comes with commitments, comes with responsibilities. And number three, which was very important, is that we don't get to pick and choose when it comes to Islam. All of Islam, whatever Allah says. We don't get to have an opinion. I don't like this, right? If that's the case, then we have iman. But there's something else that's needed. In order for Islam to become victorious, just the followers having iman isn't enough. They have to have another characteristic. That second characteristic is what we call sabr, patience. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the words of Amirul Mu'mineen. First in the salawat, please. Imam says this, لَا يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعَلَى. No one can carry this standard. No one will be able to hold the flag of Islam. No one will be able to assist the Imam of the time unless they have these following characteristics. Illa ahlul basar. One of them is insight. Wasar. Patience. Wal ilm bi mawaqi' al haq. The people have to have knowledge. The people, the masses. Not just the Nabi knows, he knows. The masses, we have to have certain characteristics. One of those characteristics is patience. What Islam teaches us is this. It is not the case that just because deen is hot, it's victorious. Islam is hot, so therefore there's no struggle. We step back, we relax, it just blows everybody out of the water. No, there's going to be effort involved. There's going to be trials involved. There's difficulty in the way of hot. Actually, the verses of the Quran are the opposite. They go over and they tell people, they question us. Do we think like this? This one is Surah 29, verse number 2. God says this, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people really think this is the case? They're just going to go over and say, آمنا, we believe. وهم لا يفتنون. They're not going to be tested. Does anybody even think that? The way that it is, the way that it works, is that no, there will definitely be tests and trials. There's definitely going to be resistance. There's definitely going to be pushback. And then if believers can show that commitment to Haq, then yes, Haq can become victorious. So, what happened was, whenever those two characteristics were there, you would see outward victory for Islam, for the Nabi, for an Imam. Whenever those weren't there in the followers, then there would be outwardly, there would be struggles. Defeat, capture, murder. Now, I want to bring us a little bit also to explain this. In that struggle, the way that Allah works is that the test would start. Some people, when they see an initial test for being a mu'min, some people are able to resist in the beginning. In the beginning, of course, Islam is sweet. Now I've embraced this faith. I'm seeing a little bit of resistance, a little bit of a test. People are able to keep pushing. Then the test gets more difficult. Some people, even at this stage still, they say, okay, it's a test. Difficulties, trials, afflictions, it's part of the mission. They keep pushing. And then after a while, it gets so difficult. After a while, it feels like the walls are caving in. I don't have anything left in the tank. It gets to that stage. If it looks like that, like Masantala, if it gets to that stage, where the person says that now that's it, it's all over, and the believer, mu'min or mu'mina, keeps pushing, keeps struggling, at that stage the help comes. This is Sunnah Allah. Let's see this verse of Quran. Let's look at this one. So this one is Surah 12, verse number 110. It says, now you see the pressure, the emotional pressure, even anbiya, rusul, what they were under. Look at this. Hatta idha stay'asa rusul. The prophets, the anbiya, they got to the stage, looking at the outward situation, so much pressure, the enemy, what they're doing, difficulty, struggling, inside, outside, external, all of this pressure. Hatta stay'asa rusul. They lost hope. The messengers lost hope. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. They thought they'd been told lies. It looks like we're going to collapse. Haqq will be defeated. At this stage, the believers will keep resisting. Then what happens? جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. If believers, mu'mineen, can push through this last stage, once it looks like everything is caving in, at this stage, the believers keep resisting, then that hope of Allah comes. So, we'll go now to the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Please send the salawat. Let's look at the same thing. How is it described in the words of Abu Bakr, the words of the Imam? He says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى اللَّهُ صِدْقَنَا. When God saw that we were telling the truth, we were really Muslims, we were pushing, we were fighting, we were resisting, outwardly it looked impossible, but God saw that we were true to our commitments. فَلَمَّا رَأَى اللَّهُ صِدْقَنَا أَنزَلَ بِعَدُوِّنَا الْكَرْبُ وَأَنزَلَ عَلَيْنَا النَّاسِ. At this stage, when God saw us resisting, being true believers, under those unbelievable circumstances, then Allah caused victory to descend on us, and He made our enemies defeated. And so it's a divine norm. The believers have to resist. Sabr is one of those conditions that has to be there along with patience in order for us to experience the victory. When it's there, there's external victory, when the followers have it. Without that, defeat. Yahya is taken, A'imma. How many A'imma? They were martyred. Didn't achieve outward success. We want now to reverse this trend. We want our Imam to come, want him to be victorious. Again, it goes back to us. Islam's perfect. It goes back to the followers if we want to see that external success. So now, I want to also talk about keeping this in mind. So that's big picture Islam, the overall victory of Islam. We also need to have this proactive patience when it comes to our personal struggle. Us as believers trying to get closer to Allah. Us trying to raise faithful families. This is a jihad. Keeping our families together, moving in the right direction towards Allah, towards Ahlul Bayt. This is a jihad itself. Keeping families, keeping our marriages going. Sometimes this also becomes a challenge for believers trying to, shaitan wants to separate the Muslims, right? God loves marriage, but sometimes believers, they end up breaking up. Relationships, friendships, sometimes businesses, right? You and I, we had a good idea, we're pushing, we're starting a business, we're trusting in God, we push, things get difficult. Are we people who are weak-willed? Do we break once the resistance comes, or do we keep pushing? Again, the same thing is there. So even financial success, if we want to, so some of us, if we're trying to recover our health, I don't know how many of you have been through this experience where you have to go and you've gotten sick for a while, you're trying to get back to your health, but it's a hard path, a difficult path, it's not easy, it's not immediate. I remember I was going rehab on my knee. How long to keep going again and again, right? But the same principle is there. The sabr has to be there, the patience has to be there. Sometimes things will look impossible. What we have in the verse of Quran is this, Surah 40, verse number 55, فَاسْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. You be patient, you keep resisting, you keep pushing. God's promises are true. He's going to make it happen. If you do your part, those promises of God are there. Yes, it might be difficult, it might take some time, but فَاسْبِرْ, be patient. You notice also, no matter how big the challenge, sometimes you and I, the struggles that we're going, even in our personal lives, for us there are Goliath, Jalut. For us, it seems, for other people on the, on the outside it's easy. Oh brother, sister, just be patient, it's okay. For you and I, we're actually
going through the struggle, it feels literally like Daud facing Jalut. This problem is going to finish me.
Listen now to the words of those mu'mineen, that small group of mu'mineen who stayed true to the path, who didn't give up. Others went over, they started separating, and the believers were going to face Jalut. Some believers, many believers went over and they drank from the water. Many believers abandoned the path. Those who were true believers said this, فَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتُ وَجُنُوتُ did. When they went out to face Jalut, Goliath, and his armies, they said this, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِدْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Allah pour down on us patience. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Keep our feet firm. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And give us victory over the non-believers. So they were going to face what would seem like an impossible, but it was their responsibility. Even if it's Goliath, even if so many of the mu'mineen have left, even if you're all alone facing this, but you're responsibility for offering, to ask God to pour down patience upon us. So again, you see that patience. Now, that's what we need to do in order to experience God's best. We can't give up. Keep those divine promises in mind. Do our responsibilities, even when it looks difficult. What happens is, there are other traits that we have as human beings, and if those traits are not corrected, if we haven't worked on ourselves to overcome those traits, those bad traits that might be within us, we might also slip. One of the traits we have to go against, brothers and sisters, is the trait of becoming ajumi, being hasty. Sometimes believers are on the cusp of victory. It's almost there, they can almost, but what happens? Hasty, I abandon my responsibilities instead of having that patience till the end. And sometimes that hastiness can destroy us. I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was four people on an airplane, and the airplane started to go down. When the airplane started to go down, the pilot came out and he said, "Look, there are three pack bags. I have one, four. I'm jumping. The rest of you figure it out." And he jumped out the airplane. There's four people there. So looked at each other, one of them went and he picked up the backpack and said, "I'm a doctor. My patients need me." He jumped out the airplane. The other guy looked at the other two who were there. He said, "I'm the smartest man in the world. The world needs me." And he jumped out the airplane. The other two people looked. It was an old man and a little boy. The old man said, you know, "I've lived my life. You take the parachute. You jump. It's going to be okay." The little boy said, "No, it's okay. There are two parachutes." He said, "There's two parachutes?" He said, "Yeah. The smartest man in the world jumped out with my backpack." So hastiness isn't good. Sometimes we're on the cusp of that victory, that hastiness, that destroys everything. Believers need to keep that in mind. Fasbir. Be patient. Keep doing your responsibility instead of panicking at the last second, and make sure that we do our responsibility. When we say be patient, so this is the thing that we hear from our ulama. Our ulama, some of them explain it to us this way. Have realistic expectations. I want to know where I want to build my business. There's one time I told myself, I make dua, some other brother, "Oh Allah, make me a millionaire. I expect today, inshallah, mujizat then." Right? There's another one about realistic expectation. Building a business takes time. Building a business takes time. There'll be some difficulty in the beginning. I push, I expect, I plan based on what I can see with aql, based on what I can see. Question now. So as believers, it's our responsibility to make these logical calculations. This is my duty. Also, I have a realistic expectation of when I expect things to pan out. But question, does this mean for you and I shouldn't expect a miracle early? Is it wrong to expect that God can open doors and turn things around for me? Should I expect? I've been dealing with this problem for 10 years. Should I expect it's going to take another 10 years until I'm healed? There's one time when you have a realistic expectation. You say, "Look, I've got to do my rehab. I've got to go to the doctor. I expect it might take some time." But as a believer, it's something different. In my heart, how should I feel? Me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we should be doing, the way that Ahlul Bayt have trained us to think, is to expect miracles. To live life with expectancy. Don't live life saying, "Well, it's going to take 20 years. There's no way." Yes, I plan, I have realistic plans, I'm patient, I will do what it takes, but how, my heart now, how expectant should I be? How do they want me to live? Look at this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Muhammad. This is the hadith, it says, Inna lillah fi ayami lahmikum nafahat. Allah, in the days of your life, during your lifetime, there are times when divine breezes grow. Nafahat, there are opportunities, good things that Allah has in store. The believers are supposed to be expecting them. He says, Allah fatarassadu laha. Expect those divine winds to blow, God to come in and change things. As a believer, I'm supposed to be expected. It teaches a Quranic concept. Unexpected rizq. From where we don't expect. One of the ways that Allah provides for us, gives us divine help. Yes, we're patient, we do our responsibility. But factor in divine help that Allah can make it happen for you. Verse of the Quran, 65, verses number 2 and 3. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Whoever has taqwa, whoever does his or her responsibility, I'm pushing, I'm moving in the right direction. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. God will open up a way for that person. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. God will provide for this person from where they don't expect. I'm expecting that self to come from this way. God will send it from another way. God likes to do surprises. He likes to surprise us. He likes to do it in ways that are supernatural. So as a believer, I'm supposed to factor in. Yes, I make my logical decisions, but I factor in there is divine help. God can make it happen for me. This is a beautiful dua. I heard this, and I went and looked it up. It's actually the dua of the 12th Imam. Let me read the line of this dua. It's so beautiful. For those of you who understand the Arabic, let's listen to it. It says, Ya man, idha tawayyatatil umur, fataha lana baban lam tadhhab ilayhi al-awham. Oh, you, when things become narrow, become impossible, idha tawayyatatil umur, fataha lana baban, God goes over and He opens a door for us. Lam tadhhab ilayhi al-awham. It didn't even cross human imagination. The way that the elevator journey is so hopeful. Yes, it looks difficult from the outside, it looks impossible, but I'm doing my responsibility. How hopeful am I of victory? So the thing for us then, so one of them was that. Number two, we want to make sure that we don't just make one trite prayer and expect that it's going to happen and then just leave it. Some people are like, come over, make dua, I made dua, it didn't happen. No, actually, Allah likes it when we insist. For human beings, Allah doesn't like it if we go over and we're begging another human being. Insisting, begging, pleading, lowering ourselves, degrading ourselves, God doesn't like that. But what about me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah likes ibqa'. He likes it when we keep insisting. He likes to hear us beg Him. Let me read you this one hadith from the Imam. It says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَعْلَمُ مَا يُرِيدُ الْعَبْدُ إِذَا دَعَى. When you make dua, Allah knows exactly what it is. Before you make dua, Allah knows exactly what you want it from. God knows. He says this, وَلَكِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ. God loves. And I'll see if I can read this for you. تُبَثُ تُبَثَ إِلَيْهِ الْحَوَائِجِ. God loves that you go over and you spell out, you show, explain to Him, demonstrate for Him your hawaj. He says, so name what it is you want. Be specific. When you're talking to God, don't go over, I made a dua, oh Allah, please help me with it. In general, go over and tell God the details. I like it like this. If you do it this way, this is what I mean. He likes it when you go over and you explain out exactly what it is you're going through and exactly what it is you want from Him. God likes that. He knows. He likes to see you beg. That's good for us. More than that, this is also something else. Some people like this song. Some people, if they see that Allah doesn't answer their prayers immediately, they feel like God has turned away from them. God delays the prayer. Delays answering the prayer. And some people, when their prayers get delayed, then they start to think, I've been praying so long for this. I've been trying. But look at what the hadith tells us. Inna Allah yu'akhiru ijabata al-mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately delays ijabata al-mu'min.
He could go over and he could give the answer right away. He delays it.
Why does he delay it? شوقاً إلى دعائه. He likes to hear the believers begging and crying and asking him. He likes to hear the voices of the believers.
ويقول صوت أحب أن أسمع.
I love to hear this voice. God says this. Sometimes, actually, when God hastens the dua, it's not a sign of divine love. Listen to this hadith. It says, وَيُعَجِّلُ إِجَابَةَ دُعَاءٍ مُنَافِقٍ. Sometimes God quickly gives the munafiq what they want.
وَيَقُولُ صَوْتٌ أَكْرَهُ سَمَعَ.
It's a voice I don't want to hear. Just get him away. He gets his name. Let him get his name and get out of here. God likes to hear the believers begging, insisting, pleading. He likes that. He enjoys that. It's good for us. So it's different than human beings. Different than human beings. Sometimes human beings get to a stage they don't even want to hear each other talk. I remember hearing a story once. Inshallah, it's not true. He said once this guy, he and his wife, they were having an argument. They decided to give each other the silent treatment. They're not talking to each other. They don't want to hear each other's voice. So he realized he had a flight to catch early in the morning, so he made a little paper, wrote on the paper, I've got a flight to catch at 5 o'clock in the morning, please wake me up. He doesn't want to talk to his wife, so he just gives her the money. The next day when he wakes up, it's 10 o'clock, he missed the flight. He's so angry, he wants to shout at his wife, then he looks on the other side of the bed, there's a note. He said, it's 5 o'clock, get up. So sometimes people are like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is not like that. He likes to hear the voices of the believers. So, for us now, because we want to turn this into a practical lesson. Right? How do we get or acquire that patience that we need to be victorious in our personal lives, in our marital lives, dealing with our health, all of these things, and of course, big picture Islam, reading the victory of Islam. How do we get to acquire this? What we're going to have to acquire is what we call proactive patience. There's one kind of patience. Some people, when they hear about patience, patience just means tolerating the situation, existing. I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was these two guys that were walking in Iran, two brothers. One of them went over and he fell inside a hole, a pit. So the other brother came over to him and he said, "You're inside the hole, brother. Will you have sabr until I go and run and grab a rope?" He said, "If I don't have sabr, what am I going to do? I'm in the hole. What do you want me to do?" Existing. That's different than proactive patience. Proactive patience, we're going to define it by the words of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells us that there are three signs of the person who is sabr. Right? That patience that Islam wants us to have, there are three signs of it. The first one, awwaluha. The first sign is this. An la yaksala. The person doesn't get lazy. Kasala. Some people get lazy. I'm going to talk about all three of these. The first sign is the person doesn't get lazy. They keep doing their responsibility. They do it with energy. They don't abandon the path. What else? Wa an la, the second one, an la tarja. They don't get tired. And then the third one was an la yashkuwa min rabbi. He doesn't complain about his Lord. So, one, I don't get lazy. Second, I don't get tired. Number three, I don't complain about God. So how can we acquire these now? These are all important. This is the patience that we are supposed to have. We're supposed to have this kind of patience. So what happens is, one of the things that we discover from Quran and Sunnah is they want us to have a can-do mentality. They want us, and I've mentioned the verses of the Quran, to see ourselves as strong, capable. I can handle this test that Allah has given me. Whatever the test is. As opposed to the, I give up, I can't, I'm too weak, I'm not strong enough, I don't have enough talent, I'm not. As opposed to that one, the Islamic way, you see how they train us, is how we can be a powerhouse. I'm going to mention the verses of the Quran, but before I mention the verses of the Quran, a story. Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, he was walking with his son Ahmad. Walking with Sayyid Ahmad. So they're walking, and now this conversation that takes place between Imam Khomeini and Sayyid Ahmad. Sayyid Ahmad goes over and he mentions, he says, the superpowers are going to do X, Y, Z.
The superpowers. At that time, he says, America.
So Khomeini stopped. He says, the superpowers.
He starts listing the superpowers.
He says, say Iran. So Ahmad, it's just us here.
One time we're standing in front of the people, we're telling the people, you know, you can do whatever against them, right?
And he said, no, no, no. Say Iran is a superpower.
You're capable.
And he wouldn't stop until finally Ahmad said, Iran! We're supposed to think we're capable. No matter what is the challenge that Allah puts our way. No matter what it is that Allah puts our way. Why? Divine promises now. One of, no matter what the test is that Allah's giving me, what does God tell me in the Quran? So we repeated this promise many times in the Quran. I'm giving you one instance of it. God says this. لَا يُكَلَّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. Allah doesn't place a burden on a soul greater than its ability. Whatever my test is, the things that I didn't do, God has put it in my way. No matter how difficult, how complicated, how long I've been dealing with it, it's not going to break me. لَا يُكَلَّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. I have the ability. I can do this. The help, as we learn, help, this is from the first Imam, he says, عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الْمَعُونَ تَكُونُ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمَعُونَ. The help, the divine help that Allah sends down, that depends on how difficult the problem is. What's the problem I'm dealing with? How difficult is it? How complicated is it? On to that extent, Allah sends down that. لَا يُقَبِفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسَعَىٰ. God gives that help. The other one, we are talented. There's also something we have to get ourselves to believe. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have the talent and the wisdom and the insight to figure my way out of this problem. There's one time when you and I just go and we get pumped up. Another time we go over to the verses of the Quran. There's many verses. I want to mention one. This is Surah Yunus, verse number 9. God says this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. So truly those who amanu, they believe. Wa amilu salihah. Believe and do good deeds, what? Allah promises them. Yahdihim rabbuhum bi'imani. Allah will guide the believers because of their faith. If you and I do our responsibilities, amanu wa amilu salihah, yahdihim rabbuhum. Allah will guide the believers. That means I've got the creativity. I can figure out how to overcome this problem. I can come up with solutions. I have Allah's help. With Allah's help, no matter how big the problem or how complicated, I'll be able to overcome. So, another one that we have to keep ourselves in mind is this. And again, we're going to go back to these promises of God. How do we keep ourselves from getting tired? Right? The first one, we didn't want to get lazy. Number two, how do we keep ourselves from getting tired? How do we keep struggling, keep pushing, keep staying the course until we're able to experience God's best? In order to do that, brothers and sisters, we have to make sure we don't only look at the difficulties, we also look at the blessings. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's one time when you and I, all we do is focus on what's going wrong, what's not there, what should be, how it should be. There's another time, at the same time, we look at the blessings that are there. What is the verse of Quran? إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With difficulty, there surely is. It's not only that I'm facing this difficult, impossible situation. No, there's ease also. There are blessings there also. When I look at those blessings, that divine help that is there, and then if I can do something else, there's another verse of the Quran. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I will increase you. So that believer, that mu'min, and mu'min, not only do I see both the difficulty that I'm facing and also the divine help, I also see the blessings. More than that, if I'm grateful for those blessings, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. God promises in the Quran. So another thing that helps us keep from getting lazy and getting tired, now we're working on being tired, is this. Remembering that our life in this world is short. We're not going to be here forever. The test is for a little while, but then after that, God will make it easy. We have beautiful hadith about this. The first one is from our prophet. It says this, Ad-dunya sa'a. Life in this world is a moment. Faj'alha ta'a. Make it obedience. Don't look at me here for a little while.
Imam Ali says the same thing in different words. It says, sabaru ayyaman kaseera. The believers, the muttaqeen, they're patient for a few short days. Aqabathum rahatun taweela. After that, there's a lot of ease.
So now, that's one. The last part was this, that you and I make sure we don't complain about God.
Some people start to complain about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the three sides. One of them was that I don't become lazy. Keep working. Number two, I don't get tired. The last one is that I don't complain about God. Sometimes, when I've been going through a lot of difficulty, some of us are like this, we have to be careful. Sometimes I'm looking at the person who's giving me difficulty, the situation that's giving me difficulty, and I start to complain about that and I get resentful of that. Sometimes that complaint goes back to him though. Because in the end, although I'm facing difficulty, and that person's going to be, they're going to have to answer to God for what they're doing. That's true.
But let's learn from Lady Zainab. What did she say? Ma ra'aytu illa jamila.
From the point of view of Yazid, that's better. If we fight him, we're against him, Allah destroy him, Allah curse him. But from the point of view of what God is doing, big picture, ma ra'aytu illa jamila.
So the believer is supposed to not complain about God. God doesn't put me in a situation that I can't handle. If I'm in this difficult situation, there must be some wisdom in it, something God wants to teach me here.
So what happens is, for you and I, although I said that God, learn from the hadith, God wants us to go over and spell it out, to mention exactly what we need. Please solve my problems. Even down to the tiny details, God says that. Even in hadith, God tells Musa, he says, Musa, even when it comes to the salt, ask me for that. Even if the grass you want to give your animals, even for these tiny things, I want to hear it. God wants us to beg. But, keeping that in mind, we don't want to put God in a box. We don't want to tell God how to do it. As in, think that we're dictating to Allah. It's like two gods talking to each other. Allah has a plan. Just stick to the plan, it'll work.
Look at how God speaks to us. He says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Ati'ani fima amartuk. You obey me when those things that I've commanded you to do. Wala tu'allimni ma yuslihu. Don't teach me what's good for you.
Don't ever come to me with attitude. It's two gods talking to one.
No.
You've told me to obey, so I'm begging. You told me to mention the details, I'm mentioning. I like it like this, I hope, I plan.
But still, you are the big, I am the little one. Right? It's not two equals. Don't teach me.
I want this, I like this.
Right? God's plan is better than yours, folks.
We may think, this person, if they do this, it'll be good. This opportunity, God's plan, because God can see the big picture, his plan is definitely better. He says, don't teach her, don't teach me.
You go over, you beg. That's like, I commanded you to do that. You mentioned. But don't teach me. I'm hearing a story once. They said once, there was this guy, Muslim. He worked for a king. The king had a Muslim servant. And the servant would always be repeating these things. Allah's good. Allah's kind. Everything Allah does, there's reason for it. And so what happened is one day, the king and his servant, they went hunting. And when they went hunting, they got attacked by a wild animal. When that wild animal attacked them, it went and it took off, bit the finger of the king. The servant was able to beat off the wild animal, but the king lost his finger. So when he lost his finger, then the Muslim started saying, you know, everything Allah does, he does for a reason. He said, what'd you say? He said, God's good, everything he does for a reason. I just lost my finger. You said, God's good? He said, take him to prison. And as they were dragging that Muslim off to prison, the Muslim said, well, God's good, everything he does for a reason. The next day, the king went hunting. By himself. And this time, there were some savages out there, and they captured the king. And they decided to offer the king as a sacrifice to their gods. They brought the king, they put him on the altar, they're about to sacrifice him, and they looked, they said, he's missing a finger, he's an incomplete human being, he's not worthy to be offered to the gods, and they let him go. Now he came back to the pastor, alhamdulillah. He said, take that Muslim, bring him out of prison, alhamdulillah, I was missing a finger, alhamdulillah. He said, yeah, everything God does is good. He said, well, if God's so good, I have a question for you. If God's so good, why did he let me put you in prison? He said, if I went with you, I have all of my fingers. Everything Allah does, he does for a reason. His timing is perfect. There's reason for him doing that. Now, the last thing that we want to learn is this, that God, the way that he operates is this. Sometimes when things seem impossible, once it comes to an area that it's just caving in, that's when the divine help comes. Once it seems that everything is collapsing, that's when the divine help comes. I want to mention the hadith, but first I'll mention a story. There was a guy named Thomas. And Thomas was on a ship got capsized, it's off in the sea. He's over, he managed to save himself on a little wooden raft and make it to an island way out in the sea. Once he was there on the island, he went over and he made a little hut for himself. He started building these things and he begged and he prayed for salvation. That lost him away. But no matter how much dua Thomas made, he wouldn't get any answers. It was getting difficult. It seemed like God's not listening. And then finally, one day, he went out searching for food and he came back and his house was on fire. That little hut, the little wooden hut. Now he was so upset. He went and he sat down. He said, God, everything I went through and then now my house is on fire. Coast Guard showed up. He said, wow, subhanAllah, how'd you guys win? They said, we saw your signal fire.
You thought it was a fire. That's not fire.
He thought that was your signal fire. That's why we came. So what's the principle now that the Abu teaches? It's now mentioned in Hadith. It says, in the Tanahiya Shidda. Once things become literally impossible, in the Tanahiya Shidda, Takunul Furja. The opportunity and the release and the help and the assistance comes at that time. So we ask Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, that we're people who are able to be patient, have proactive patience, and to apply it to our personal lives and also according, of course, big picture Islam and the coming of the Imam. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.